You'd like to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 111. That's where we're going to spend most of our time this morning. Psalm 111. You just commit the message to the Lord, so let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that you are a great God. We're so thankful that you are the greatest God that could ever be. And we're just thankful for the rain that's falling. We're thankful that you're faithful in sending all the things that we need. We trust the message into your hands this morning and pray that the Spirit of God would minister to each heart. We ask this blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today, that is this morning, is Mother's Day. And I'd like to acknowledge all the mothers, all the grandmothers, all the great-grandmothers. I don't know that I need to go any further. And I trust today will be a special day for each one of you. I've not prepared a special Mother's Day message, but I'm sure that all the mothers will be able to find some application in the message that we're going to look at. So let's just read through Psalm 111. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honourable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He has shown his people the power of his works, that he might give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverent is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. In putting this message together, I began to realize I have no idea how to praise God. I've been a Christian for a very long time, but I really don't know how you praise God. So I'm trusting that the message this morning and some contribution from yourselves will give me a clearer understanding of how do we worship and how we praise the Lord. So the first four verse, the first four words of Psalm 111, verse 1 are, praise ye the Lord. And the thought struck me, how do we praise the Lord? How do we go about doing that? And I've got some suggestions here, and when I get to my last suggestion, if there's something, you know, that I've missed, I'd be quite grateful if you would call out what it is so that we can add to what I've got written down. So a first one I've got is believe on him, that is the Lord God. Trust him without reservation. The second one that I've got is give him the credit for all that he does. I think if we just thought about that one for a while and we were to take time every day to give God credit for what he does, we would probably be a long way down to praising the Lord. Reverence and respect his name. Don't use his name or abbreviations of his name for other purposes other than praising God. Obey his commandments from the heart. We can praise the Lord by obeying his commandments from the heart. If we were to look for a criticism of the Lord Jesus Christ against the religious leaders of his time, he would say, "You didn't obey God's commandments from the heart." Think about that one. Rehearse his benefits or blessings. In other words, count your many blessings, name them one by one. That's a good way to praise the Lord. Read the scriptures and believe the promises. We heard a bit about that in Sunday school this morning. And if you don't come to adult Sunday school and you can come, let me encourage you to come, because the series that we're doing is just a blessing. Read the scriptures and believe the promises, and on a daily basis. Sing hymns. Sing hymns. Now, that's where my list exhausts. Can anyone quickly think of another way that we can praise the Lord? Sorry? Reading his word and then believing what he's written. Yes. Good. Okay, I'm not going to drag that one out too long. I'll just consider I must have covered it pretty well. Praise the Lord with my whole heart, goes on to say the verse. What does a whole heart mean? So I've got 3 points. I've just got not holding back. Not holding back. A total belief. A total belief. Not a Sunday belief. Not a when it suits me belief. But a total belief. And with all my faith. With all my faith. And then it goes on to say, in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. And I wondered, what does that mean? And I came to the conclusion that in these verses are indicating an assembly of like-minded people. People of, we would say, like faith and practice. Meeting together to worship and praise the living God. Just like we do here, week by week. 100 people coming to the youth rally, Pastor. 100 young people. That's a lot of people, isn't it? How far is that spread around?
From Wagga to Melbourne.
From Wagga to Melbourne. That's a fair sprinkling. But it means that they're people of like mind and people of like faith and practice. Now, some of them will be unsaved, because I know some of the youth here are unsaved. But isn't it good that 100 young people can come and meet in Bendigo and take the opportunity to hear God's word? In verses 2 to 4 we read, "The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honourable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion." There's probably enough in that verse to write 3 or 4 messages. But we're just going to look at it very simply. And we're going to look at God's works and God's thoughts. There's some cross-references that you don't have to turn to them unless you wish to, but Psalm 92:5 says, "O Lord, how are thy works? And thy thoughts are very deep. O Lord, how great are thy works? And thy thoughts are very deep." In Jeremiah 29:11 it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end." Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Isaiah 28, 29 says, "This also cometh forth from the Lord of hosts, which is wonderful in counsel and excellent in working." And then Jeremiah 32:19, "Great in counsel and mighty in work, for thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give every one according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." So God's works are great. I mean, we only have to look at the earth and the creation of the universe to know how great they are. We can send out probes and we can send out or have these telescopes and things that can look as far as they can. And as far as they look, there's a work of God. And so we have to assume that God's works go on in the universe farther than anyone will ever see. Why? Why would God create a universe that nobody will ever see? Because he's a great God and he does great things. God's works are honourable. God's works are glorious. They endure forever. Now, that doesn't mean that things won't change, but God's works endure forever. We found that out this morning in Sunday school, that God has no beginning, he has no end, and therefore we find that a difficult concept. God's works will be remembered. God's works will be remembered. And just going on to God's thoughts are very deep. God's thoughts are of peace. God's thoughts are not evil. God's thoughts are to give an expected end. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. And God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And again, there's a whole message in that. So to praise the Lord, we need to surrender our thoughts to God's thoughts and make his work our work. Just to go over that again. So to praise the Lord, we need to surrender our thoughts to God's thoughts and make his work our work. Verse 5 of Psalm 111. "He hath given meat unto them that fear." Now, I put in brackets after the word fear, trust, respect, reverence. So he hath given meat unto them that trust him, that respect him, that reverence him, that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. Philippians 4:19, which I'm sure we could all rehearse, or we'll all know it when I read it, "But my God shall supply all your wants." Is that what it says? It says all your need, "according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." And it was interesting, in this morning's Sunday school message, he used two illustrations to show God's ability to meet a need for food when the cupboard was quite empty. And what was in the cupboard had weevils in it. And God supplied according to his need. If you don't understand what that means, get the tape from this morning and review it. Which covenant is being referred to here? Which covenant? Because it says he will ever be mindful of his covenant. And we know there are a series of covenants. But I think personally he's talking about his promises. He will ever be mindful of his promises. Verses 6 and 7. "He has showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of his hands are verity. Now, my understanding is that means truth, reality, or actuality, and judgment. So what are some of God's works? In Jeremiah 32, verse 17, we read, "Our Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee." So what are some of God's works? Well, creation is obviously one of God's works. The flood and all the implications of the flood are one of God's works. The 10 plagues, the opening of the Red Sea, the pillar of fire and the cloud, the manna to eat, the food and the water in the desert. Some of God's works are heaven and hell, eternity, salvation, promises. These are some of God's works. And it says, "He hath showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen." The works of his hands are truth, reality, or actuality, in other words, verity and judgment. And at the end of verse 7, it says, "All his commandments are sure." Yeah, do we really believe that? Do we really accept that every commandment given in the scriptures are sure? Does God really know what he's doing? What are some of the commandments that he has given, and why did he give them? If you want to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4, we're going to read 9 verses, so it would pay to do that. Just keep your finger in Psalm 111 and flip over to Deuteronomy, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, up the front of the Bible. And Deuteronomy 4, 1-9 says, "Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you." So one of the reasons God gave the commandments was to prepare them to go into the promised land. "You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you." And I think we're living in a generation where God's word is certainly being added to and taken away from in a very skillful and professional manner. "Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Balpor. For all the men that followed Balpor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But ye did not cleave unto the Lord your God." Sorry. "But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should so go into the land, whether ye go to possess it." Verse 6 says, "Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear of these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Why were the people wise and understanding? Because God gave them a series of commandments, which if they keep, they will live much better lives and worship their God. For what nation is there so great who hath God on high, God is so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all the things that we call upon for him. And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments, and it says, so righteous in all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to yourself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them to thy sons and to thy sons' sons. Israel was to be a light to the other nations. Israel's God was to be a light to the Gentiles. God's law was the distinguishing feature of this nation. So Israel was given by God a set of rules. We know them basically as the Ten Commandments and those others that follow. And they were to be a light to the people, to the other nations around them, but they tended to become insular and just rejected ministering to other people. Israel, that is, Israel's God, was to be a light to the Gentiles. But unfortunately, the Jewish people cut the Gentiles off. And God's law was to be the distinguishing feature of this nation. Well, today the church is to be a light to other nations, a light to the Gentiles. And God's law or God's commandments are to be the distinguishing feature of the church. Now, if I said that in any other church in Bendigo or anywhere else in Australia that wasn't a Bible-believing church, I would probably be asked to leave. God's law or God's commandments are to be the distinguishing feature of the church. John 14:15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Verses 8 and 9. Now, obviously, I'm not going to cover everything in Psalm 111. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverent is his name. What redemption did he send? For the original hearers of this psalm, it would be the coming Messiah. It would be the one that was to come. And again, in this morning's Sunday school message, there was quite a bit on the Messiah coming and who was expecting the Messiah. And anyway, if you heard the message this morning, you would understand that. So the original hearers of this psalm were looking for a coming Messiah. For us today, it was God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, having already come to die at Calvary, then to be raised from the dead, ascended back to heaven, and is coming again soon. And I notice Andrew referred to that in his prayer this morning, that the Lord's coming. It's certainly one day closer than it was yesterday, and it will be one day closer tomorrow than it is today, because it's a set time. God the Father knows, and the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. The Messiah is coming back. Truth, uprightness, holy, reverent are the words associated with the living God. Well, is there an application from this morning? Well, there is an application from this morning. Let's have a look at verse 10. Verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. You notice it says there, a good understanding have all they that do his commandments. So those people that follow the Lord's commandments, that read His word, that and they're the ones that understand the wisdom of God. They're the ones that know what's going on. They're the ones that who are tuned in to God's presence. So what's an application from this morning? Believe in, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Accept Him into our hearts by faith and trust Him. That would be a good thing to do on Mother's Day. Give Him the credit for all that He does. And sometimes some of those things don't seem to be good things, but God knows what He's doing, and He's prepared us for whatever is going to happen to us. Give Him the credit for all that He does. The reason it's raining this morning is because God made it rain. Had nothing to do with the clouds coming over from Perth and coming up and swinging down. God sent the rain, and we need to give Him credit for that. Reverence and respect His name. Now, I've said to you that I worked in a dockyard for 9 years, and I heard the name of the Lord Jesus Christ pronounced by people who had no idea who He was. You hear it on television. You hear it on the street. We need to reverence and respect His name. Obey His commandments from the heart. That's a good application from this morning. To obey His commandments from the heart. Not with heads, but with the heart. Rehearse His benefits, His blessings. Count your many blessings. It would be good if when we're sharing after the service to share some of the blessings that God has done in our lives. Believe His promises. When God says something, He means it. We need to believe His promises. Remember, the reverential fear of the Lord is the beginning. The reverential fear of the Lord is the beginning. So again, mothers, have a great day. And if you've got a mother, here my mother has passed on, so I cannot do anything for my mother. But if you've got a mother, or if you've got someone that you want to adopt as a mother, give them a good day today. It doesn't mean you have to give them a bad day tomorrow. So let's close by rereading Psalm 111. But I want you to look at the words that emphasize eternity or forever. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honourable and glorious, and His righteousness endureth forever. There's one of the eternity bits. He hath made His wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meat unto them that fear Him. He will ever be mindful of His covenant. He hath showed His people the power of His works, that He may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of His hands are verity and judgment. All His commandments are sure. They stand fast for ever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption upon His people. He hath commanded His covenant forever. Holy and reverent is His name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever. Thank you, Pastor Mitchell.